25. Marcus. Mud splashed up his legs as he walked through camp to where Servius had gathered the men involved in the brawl, all of them stripped down to their undergarments in preparation for the inevitable punishment. At the sight of him, they straightened their line and saluted. I take it no one has offered an explanation.
No, sir.
Servius glowered at the men, who all had their eyes fixed on the mud. Blackened eyes, broken noses, bruised sides, and split knuckles all abounded, and three of them had arms in splints, which meant they had at least 6 weeks before they could rejoin their lines. Motioning to one of the men in his escort, he murmured, loud enough for the men to hear, "Tell Racker I have need of him." The brawlers all shifted uneasily, no doubt wondering what he had in store for them if the surgeon was required. It was 3 lashes for brawling. Refusing to answer a superior increased the punishment to 5 lashes. But all of them knew that, so threatening them with it was unlikely to yield results. That they were being so deeply reticent meant that whatever had caused the fight was something that they really didn't want him to know, which meant he needed to use a more creative method to get the information out of them. "I was deeply disappointed to hear of the events that transpired at the mess tent yesterday," he said, circling the group. "The Empire holds its legions to a standard of conduct, with laws and protocols which must be abided to ensure strength and unity and order. Yet it is no secret that I hold our legion to a higher standard still, because we are the 37th. He shouted the last, and all the men slammed their fists to their chests in salute, hollering, "Yes, sir!" Rounding on one of them, he said, "Is the 37th middling?"
"No, sir."
To another, he asked, "Does the 37th aim to only meet expectations?"
"No, sir. We exceed them, sir."
Stepping back so as to encompass them all in his next statement, he said, "Is the 37th following in the footsteps of the 29th? Their spines collectively stiffened, the barb one that would be effective against any man under his command. The 29th was the legion they'd been assigned to for the completion of their training in the field, which had been well and good when Darius was legatus. But the man, as well as his second and third in command, had been murdered not long after the 37th had joined them in the field. The then Primus Hostis had risen to command, and the 37th's circumstances took an abrupt turn for the worse. The remaining years of their training bordered on torture. If gods existed, then demons must too, and Hostis was surely one of them. And after how they'd parted ways in Bardeen, Marcus hoped he'd never find himself alone with the older legatus again.
"No, sir!"
they all shouted, and as he'd hoped, their eyes were filled with shame. He stared at them for a long moment, allowing the tension to build. "Then perhaps one of you might offer sufficient justification for why you were acting like them." More shifting feet, but no one answered. "What is this bloody well about?" he wondered. "What don't they want me to know?"
"This had better be good, Marcus."
Racker's voice filtered up from behind him.
"I was about to step into surgery."
It was a struggle not to wince. Turning to the surgeon, he asked, "Can you give me a cost for the medical supplies used to treat these men's injuries?" The surgeon's eyes flicked over the group, then he shrugged.
"Insignificant for the most part, but most availed themselves of narcotics. In Celandor, the cost would amount to perhaps a gold dragon, but—"
Interrupting, Marcus said to Servius, "Garnish the cost from their wages." His words drawing visible glowers from the men.
"If you'd let me finish," Racker snapped. "Given we have no access to the source here in the Dark Shores and I've been unable to find a suitable alternative, our remaining narcotics are priceless."
And it was wasted on brawlers. Marcus watched the glowers fade back into shame. "The reason for your actions had better be good, and one of you had better spit it out now. That is an order." Silence. And Marcus felt his stomach drop, because in all his years of command, he'd never had men refuse one of his orders. Never. What was this about? What didn't they want him to know? Who were they protecting? He couldn't concede on the matter without looking weak and inviting this to happen again. But neither did he want to follow the protocols of the Empire and accuse them of treason for refusing to obey an order, because that meant he'd have to hang them, which they all bloody well knew. His breath was coming too quickly, his chest tightening because this shouldn't be happening. Not in the 37th. Not to him.
Tell me now or you're out.
The word slipped from his lips almost without thought.
I won't have men under my command that I can't trust. So you either tell me what you fought over, or you can no longer consider yourself 37th. Shit,
Servius muttered under his breath.
This is out of hand.
Marcus ignored him, watching instead the horror forming on the faces of the men before him, several exchanging glances with one another.
Well?
He felt the moment where they mutually agreed, then one stepped forward.
It was over some things that were said about you in the mess tent, sir.
What things?
The man's jaw worked back and forth. Then he sighed and said,
that you're not following Legion protocols, sir. That you're not holding yourself to the standard of the 37th. And that maybe it will be better once we find the Xenthier paths, because once the Senate has authority here, things will go back to normal.
Things will go back to normal. The words were like ice water, because they were identical to what the traitor had told Ashok.
Who said that?
Was a conversation, sir. More than a few involved. And the argument sparked after the speaker left the mess tent. Men taking sides and such.
Who wanted things to go back to normal?
Who said that part? Silence.
I will have Racker burn the 37th mark off your fucking chests if you don't tell me!
Marcus shouted. The tension mounted. Then finally the man gave a sharp shake of his head.
Was the Tribunus?
Felix.
Well, Marcus said,
all his control going toward keeping his expression in check, toward keeping from breaking down entirely.
Given recent developments, he might soon get his wish.
Turning to Servius, he said,
3 lashes each and garnish the cost of the narcotics from their wages.
And without another word, he turned and walked away. Tariana and Quintus were mercifully absent from the command tent when he returned, so there was no one to see him slump down on the stool, elbows on the table and his head in his hands. No one to see the way he scrubbed at his eyes, hating the unfamiliar burn of tears, hating the way his breath kept catching, not with one of his attacks, but with grief. It had been Felix. Felix who'd betrayed Tariana's position, who'd gotten 6 of their men killed, who'd crippled Mickey, who'd ruined Quintus's life, who'd set Marcus on a path that had nearly seen the 37th caught between 2 armies, who'd betrayed him. A sob wrenched from his throat, and he dug his nails into his scalp, trying to regain control, trying to shove the twist of pain and hurt back behind the walls that normally protected his heart so well. Behind his closed eyelids, memory flitted across his vision, of standing in a tiny room next to a bunk that seemed a sliver width compared to the bed he'd left behind at home, the ache of his abandonment heavy in his chest.
Top or bottom?
He turned to find another boy standing beside him, golden skin tanned considerably darker than Marcus's by the sun, ears sticking out beneath his freshly shorn hair. Pardon?
You want the top or the bottom bunk? You were in line behind me for processing, by the way. See?
The boy pulled down the neck of his tunic to reveal a tiny tattooed number, 1518. His skin still stung from the needle that had left a 1519 on his own skin, and he couldn't imagine how much worse it would be when it was replaced by a larger version when he graduated, if he lived that long.
Means we'll be standing next to each other pretty much the rest of our lives unless one of us croaks,
the boy said.
What did you say your name was?
Gaius rose on his lips, but he clenched his teeth shut on it, because that wasn't his name anymore. Everything that had been his was gone now. And the thought sent fresh tears spilling down his cheeks as he managed to choke out his younger brother's name.
Marcus. Hey, it's all right.
The boy patted his shoulder.
Gosh, you're skinny. Good thing you're here. Lessendor feeds us well, I've heard. Clean bedding and new clothes, too. I bet you've never had it this good.
Marcus opened his mouth to say that he'd never had it this bad, but fear silenced him. Because if anyone learned that his family had sent him instead of his younger brother, he, his father, and his brother would be executed for treason. His mother stripped and exiled, his sisters along with her. which meant no one could ever find out who he was, and that meant keeping everything secret. His breathing came faster, one of his attacks coming on, because everyone had abandoned him. Everyone. I'm afraid.
Hey!
The boy slung his arm around him.
Why don't you take the top bunk? That way, anyone who wants to get to you will have to get past me first.
Why would you do that?
He managed to ask between gasps.
You don't even know me.
Because we're brothers now,
the boy said, gesturing for him to climb to the upper bunk.
I'm Felix, by the way.
Sir.
Marcus jumped, his heart flipping at the sound of Felix's voice as it pulled him from his memories, and he lifted his head.
I have the revisions to the ranks.
Felix held two pieces of paper covered in his familiar messy scrawl.
You said you wanted to see them first.
Taking them, Marcus rubbed at his temples, the names blurring as he read. Nothing sinking in except that his best friend had betrayed him.
Hard to get any sleep last night with all the noise.
The celebrations of the men had been predictably raucous, but even if the camp had been silent, Marcus wouldn't have slept well. Wasn't sure if he ever would again. I slept fine. Felix sighed.
Not sure if you're aware, but Quintus has Tyriana pinned out front.
Don't say her name. Don't stand there and act like you care. I ordered him to teach her to defend herself.
All he's doing is drowning her in the mud.
Concern that Quintus might actually be hurting Tyriana flickered through him, but it was overwhelmed by his grief and his rising anger. It's not your concern. I'll review these and let you know if I have changes.
You don't want to discuss them.
I'm occupied. He picked up a pencil, needing Felix gone. Because he needed to calm down and figure out what path forward wouldn't rip the 37th apart. You may attend to other duties. Silence. Something that had never been uncomfortable between them before, but now felt unbearable.
No!
Felix slammed his hands down on the table, causing water to splash out of Marcus's cup.
Not until you talk to me.
Watch your tone. Marcus was on his feet, though he didn't remember standing. You are not above punishment. And I will punish you for what you've done.
Do it, then.
Felix leaned across the table so that they were nose to nose.
Have me whipped for being the only one with the courage to call you out on your bullshit behavior.
His temper was an inch from boiling over, because this wouldn't be a whipping. It would be the gallows. This is not the moment to test me, Felix.
When, then? When?
Felix's blue eyes searched his.
When the Empire sends a senator over with reinforcements and they learn how you've been carrying on with her? The decisions you've made because of her? When it's you being whipped in the mud for breaking Legion law? Or worse, if they decide to string you up for treason? Is that when you'll finally see reason? I'm not done!
Felix slammed his hands down on the table again.
It's over, Marcus. Our freedom to do what we wanted is over. The Zenthier path that Hunter came through originated within spitting distance of a fortress we conquered. And if there is a way here, there is a way back. It's only a matter of time until we are once again under the Senate's thumb and you are no longer the one in control. You cannot give them any reason to believe you've been anything less than the perfect, loyal dog they trained you to be, or they'll kill you.
Marcus's breath was coming in rapid pants, his nails digging into his palms.
I have done everything perfectly. We control Erinoquia, which is exactly what I was told to accomplish. What more do you want from me? End it with Tyriana. That's what I want.
His hands balled into fists.
I already did. That is such bullshit.
Felix shook his head.
And the worst is that I can't tell if you're lying to me or to yourself.
It's over. Then prove it.
Felix leveled a finger at him.
Put her in a different tent. Or better yet, send her back to the Quincens. Because we don't need her anymore. The only reason for you to keep her around now is because you can't stand to let her go.
His head was throbbing. Pulse roaring, and all Marcus could see was red.
You've been trying to get rid of her from the moment you set eyes on her, so things can go back to normal. And don't think I don't know how far you're willing to go to achieve it. What are you talking about?
You want her dead.
Admit it.
Felix stared at him. Then he gestured at the entrance to the tent.
Is that what Quintus is teaching her? To protect herself from me?
More rain began to fall overhead, pattering loudly against the tent canvas as they stared each other down.
13 years, Felix said softly. 13 years we've been best friends. Have stood at each other's backs against every odd. And despite all that, you don't know me at all.
You're right. I don't. Because if he'd known his friend was capable of betrayal, they wouldn't have been friends in the first place. Felix raked a hand over his hair.
I'd slit my own throat before I'd turn a blade on Tariana.
Don't lie to me. I know you hate her.
It's not her I hate, Felix answered. It's how you've been acting ever since she joined us. You always put the 37th first, and the men trusted you to keep them safe. But more and more, we're seeing you make decisions with different priorities in mind, and I'm not the only one who doesn't like it. I don't know if she's a symptom or the disease, but if you don't refocus on the men and our mandate, you're going to rip the 37th apart.
Don't put this all on me. You're the one who caused a bloody brawl, forcing the men to pick sides.
That's not true, Felix snarled. The 41st were getting in our men's faces, that Titus would already have paths mapped, but that you're too busy pandering to the Aranoquians to even look. I told them to shut their traps, that you knew what you were doing, and that things would be back to normal soon enough.
That word. Why are you so rutting eager to go back to the way things were? Felix's eyes narrowed, searching his.
Why aren't you?
For 1,000 reasons. But the burdens of secrets and betrayal meant Felix was the last person he could trust with them.
Is it because once the paths are mapped, she'll be through with us?
Felix gave a sharp shake of his head.
Don't bother answering that. Just know that I know hurting her would hurt you. And that is something I'd never do. Even though, if you keep down this path, you'll destroy yourself.
He squeezed his eyes shut.
Since we've been children, I've protected you, Marcus. Lied and deceived and murdered to keep you alive and to achieve your ends. And for what? What did you give me in return?
Everything. He gave everything to his legion, to his men. Apparently not the one thing that you want. Marcus leaned across the table, wanting Felix to feel as much hurt as he did, wanting him to know what it felt like to be betrayed. And allow me to be clear. That will never happen. Felix's eyes widened, color draining from his face. He took a step back from the table, looking anywhere but at Marcus, which was the exact moment Gibson strode in. The Primus looked between the two of them.
Sorry to interrupt, sirs, but I thought you'd want to be the first to know. We found the Xanthier. It's far closer than we anticipated. And something else.
What? Marcus demanded, nausea rolling in his guts. Because everything he didn't want to happen was happening, and all of it too quickly.
An abandoned city. And if what my boys tell me is true, you're going to want to see it for yourself.
What he wanted was out of this camp. Away from everything. What he wanted was to be able to breathe, because only then could he decide how to deal with this.
They're right, he said,
keeping his gaze fixed on Gibson because he couldn't stand to look at Felix.
Get me an escort ready. We leave in an hour.